Gentlemen, good evening. This is Dr. Ali Benazir of thejobdating.com. And tonight, I'm very pleased to have for you an interview with my friend and colleague, Shayna James. She is a dating and relationship coach, and she's been doing it since before that was cool to do. In the past decade, she's coached and spoken to thousands of men and women around the world as a senior facilitator for the Authentic Man program and co-creator of the Authentic Woman experience. In fact, the bulk of her teaching has been for men, just like you. And what I really like about her approach is that it's not about games or routines or pickup lines. She works specifically with each man and kind of reaches into the places a man holds back and feels stuck and acts as your ally. And being a woman, she has unique insight into the female psyche. And I really like that she has a lot of love and compassion for men and the vulnerability and willingness to tell the truth and to create a safe environment for men to work through their biggest fears and deepest shame. Because, you know, we're all supposed to be rough and tough and buff and make stuff happen and take the initiative. But at the same time, deep down inside, we all know that there's a lot of challenges with that, and it's actually a little scary sometimes. So she understands that, and by creating that space for men to be vulnerable, she shows them how to have passionate, fulfilling connections and relationships with women that they desire, and also in a way that women really appreciate. So she's been a coach for many years. She's been a workshop leader. She's done a lot of yoga and meditation, and she also has a master's degree in psychology. And you can find her work at themanshewants.com. Thanks for being on the call, Shayna.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and so why don't we begin with a really simple question. So, you know, guys have a lot of preconceived notions about sex and orgasm, and some of these keep them from having the pleasure and the connection and the intimacy that they really crave with women. So what would you say are some of the biggest misconceptions that men have?
I love this, that we're just diving right to the source.
No pulling back.
No holding back. I mean, I think one of the things that I've really been looking at over the years is that the way we define things and how we, you know, how we see things actually structures our reality.
Content recording started.
We okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So, you know, how we see things and how we define things really structures our reality. And one of the things I often see in my work with men is that there's this idea, and this might sound ridiculous, but I will explain myself, that, you know, that sex is sex and that orgasm is orgasm. And what I mean by that is that this idea that sex happens, you know, in bed, or for those of you that have sex in other places, you know, the living room, the kitchen, wherever you have sex, but that sex is understood to be, you know, you putting your cock in a woman, or maybe we could even expand it to touching a woman's genitals, right? And that orgasm is something that happens only in sexual touching. That it's this state of heightened energy flowing through someone's body, but it's at the pinnacle of a sexual experience. And the truth is that if you limit your definitions, you know, that sex happens in that way and orgasm only happens in this way, then you miss out on, you know, all the sex and orgasm you could be having in other ways at other times. And again, this might sound odd, but, you know, if you start with orgasm, right, you look at the truth about orgasm is that orgasm is energy. And it's a flow of energy that moves through our bodies, and it's pleasurable and bright and usually tingly. And, you know, but that doesn't only happen in sexual situations. I'm taking this urban tantra class, and our teacher just sent out a video where this woman was demonstrating a breath or energy orgasm. And it was pretty wild to watch. I mean, she was just using her breath and moving her body, and there was no sexual, you know, this idea of sexual touching. And it's similar to some of my own experience where, you know, there are times where I'm walking down the street or I'm sitting in a coffee shop or I'm with someone but we're not even touching, and I have these rushes of energy in my body, and it feels orgasmic. You know, it's really similar. It may not be the same it may not be the same height or the same exact flavor as a peak orgasm in the middle of sex, but it is still this kind of energy that feels amazing and pleasurable. And the reason I think, you know, it's important to expand this, your definition, is because if you see energy, or if you see orgasm as only the energy that happens in the peak of a sexual experience, for some people, I mean, that's like a, I don't know, 15 or 20 second high, right? For others who practice expanded orgasm or orgasmic meditation, I mean, there's longer orgasms to have, but you miss out on creating all of this energy and pleasure that you could be having no matter where you are, right? You could be walking on the street, like I said, you could be in a bar, you could be in a coffee shop, and you could be having this kind of energy and pleasure with a woman that I will say, from my experience, you know, really captures my attention and has me curious about a man and has me wanting more, and that also has me feel like, oh, we're not just trying to get somewhere, right? We're not just trying to get to having sex, or we're not just trying to get to being in the bedroom, because while that is fun and amazing and I really enjoy that, there's also so much pleasure to be had in all the other moments that we're having together.
Well, speaking of getting someone's attention, I think you definitely have the attention of the men now. And when you say, good, oh, you can have an orgasm in broad daylight in the cafe, like, oh, really? So, of course, I have to follow up with, you know, what are some ways in which that can happen, or what are some things that you've experienced personally that can be taught to men?
Great question. I think when you expand, this is, you know, this goes back to expanding your definition of sex. When you expand your definition of sex to include, you know, any way that you're really connecting, right? So it could be looking into a woman's eyes. It could be breathing together. It could be just touching fingers or touching body parts. You know, it doesn't have to be genitals. But it's really anything that creates connection in your body and her body, anything that creates a connection in your heart and her heart, you know, and that heightens energy. And, you know, so you just asked about the how, like, how do you do that? I mean, I think part of the root of that is the ability to be present, you know, to be in the moment and not future tripping about how you're going to get this to happen or whether she's going to come home with you or not, or being in your past about how things went, you know, and whether it's hopeless or whether you can make this happen. And so you're actually really, when you're really there in the moment, you'll find that there's so much more sensation and pleasure happening than if you're in the past or the future. So some of it is a way of putting attention on a woman. You know, if you're actually, if you put attention on a woman such that you can really, you can really feel her, right? You can really, like she becomes the only thing in the room. And you can actually have your attention on her in such a, I don't know if pristine is the right word, but such an attuned way. You can actually start to feel her, how she's feeling in your own body. You're starting to notice and pay attention. Oh, when I said that, she just lit up. And when I said that, her energy dropped. And when I said that, she smirked a little bit, right? So if you start noticing and paying attention to the subtleties, which actually become less subtle as you start to pay attention to them, then she starts to feel like, oh, he's feeling me. He's noticing me. And for a woman, for me, I'll say, and I think for a lot of women, that's one of the hottest and most amazing ways to be connected with a man.
So if I understand correctly, then just the act of being fully present and just connecting is enough to get a woman turned on. Is that correct?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, and that might sound crazy, but it's actually getting all that other stuff out of the way. You know, like, oh, well, I have to say this word at this time, or I have to do this thing, or, you know, well, this person said that if I do it this way, then she's not going to want me. And, you know, this idea, and when you actually take that out of the picture, you get to be with someone so connected in that moment. You know, that's often where the turn on and the spark happens. In the silence.
Wow. No, that's really powerful. And I emphasize that because sometimes men think they have to do, you know, backflips and do a little dance and a trick and a magic show in order to get a woman's attention. But in fact, what you're saying from the point of view of an actual woman is that just the fact of giving your full attention to a woman is a tremendous turn on.
Oh my God, it's amazing. And it's so rare too. It's so rare that it happens. I mean, I now spend time with a lot of men and women who actually, you know how to put their attention on someone and really care and be with someone. So for me, it happens a lot more in my life than for a lot of people, but it's still really rare to go out into the world or to go on a date with someone who's not, you know, in my community of people and feel that kind of attention. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I can, even just thinking about it right now, I can feel the energy and the pleasure in my own body of what it's like to have someone notice me, to have a man notice me and just to be able to sit there, even in those silent moments without thinking, you know, I can feel when a man is in his head and thinking like, oh, okay, what's the next thing I should say? Or, oh, this is awkward, or, God, I shouldn't be silent, which is totally different from when a man looks into my eyes and just stops and enjoys, you know, whatever's happening with my eyes or my face or how my body's moving or how I'm breathing. I mean, it's amazing.
Shane is coming from an experiential, you know, an intuitive standpoint. And just to corroborate what she's saying scientifically, you know, in the past 20 years, one of the biggest discoveries in neuroscience has been that of mirror neurons. And mirror neurons are these highly specialized nerve cells that in your brain, their sole purpose is to feel other people. So when you actually quiet everything down and allow yourself to pay attention to the person, you're going to feel the way that person feels. And if you get turned on, she gets turned on. And this may seem like a whole bunch of voodoo, but science has proven this time and time again. So everything you're saying is absolutely true. If you were to give a couple of tips for how guys can increase their attentiveness and quiet their minds, what would you say?
Great question. I would say one of the first things is to actually practice putting your attention on a woman or even just on other people, you know, throughout your day, rather than putting your attention on the voices in your head. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the, well, you know, I wonder what she thinks of me, or I wonder if she likes me, I wonder if I seem hot enough, all those questions and, you know, all that monkey mind. When you actually start to shift your attention outward to someone else, that really helps to quiet your mind and it helps you have your attention, you know, in this other place. Another thing that can be really powerful is to find a way, and this is probably different for every man, but to kind of heighten your awareness of your body. And so for some men, it might be doing yoga. For some men, it might be doing kickboxing. It might be jumping up and down or taking some deeper breaths, you know, but doing that before or even during when you're sitting with a woman or when you're meeting a woman, so that you're not, again, just lost in all of the thoughts in your head.
Right. Go for the external focus. Focus on what's happening out there, but then also be body aware. And one technique I found useful is to just kind of wiggle your toes and just become aware of your toes. And these may seem like contradictory instructions, but they're really not. So just, you know, the idea is to feel.
Right.
The idea is to feel, and so you're feeling her by focusing externally and also feeling you and becoming that antenna. Now, this leads us to the next question, which is that, you know, men when men focus on creating amazing sex and connections, they focus on, you know, less than 10% of what's going on and miss the other 90 plus percent. So that seems like a lot. So what is it that they're missing?
Yeah, and I think this really just continues with what we were saying. It's like when you have your attention on the voices in your head and you have your attention on what you think is important, what other people have told you is important, that this is the thing that's going to create the heat or the chemistry, now you're actually missing the moment, right? And one of the ways I like to look at this is, for those of you who know the statistics, is that 7% of communication is verbal, or the words you use, right? The rest, the 93%, is everything else, your tone of voice, your body language, your facial expression, all of those non-verbals. And so when you look at sex, it's similar. And what I've found is that most men who want to have great sex, you know, focus on the skills or the techniques, or, okay, what stroke can I use? What position is best? What angle is best, right? What are the right words or the right timing to say it and all of those things? And what you then miss out on, which is when you look at the communication, right, all that, the other 93%, is the connection and whether you're creating that connection or not. And so some men have defined this as inner game, right? It's often like it's this mysterious part of what brings you together with another person or what doesn't. And so I want to break this down a little bit so that it's not a mystery, because the majority of what creates that connection, right? One way you can look at it is similar to communication. It's your ability to relax, your body language, your tone of voice. But I would say even those are misleading because they're the surface expression of what shows up based on what's happening inside of you at a deeper level, right? Your relationship with yourself and your relationship with the world. And so, you know, again, you may have looked for one of those quick fixes or a Band-Aid to slap on this, but if you've been at this long enough, you know that it doesn't work, or if it does work, it doesn't work for very long. And so the 93% that I'm referring to actually includes, right, that creates this spark and this connection is, some of it is what you think and how you feel about yourself. Some of it is what you think and how you feel about women. Right. Another part is what we were just talking about, how much you are in your body, and by that we mean how attuned to your body you are. So it's not just athleticism and like, oh, I play sports, but you know, how much you can actually feel what's going on in your body, which creates way more pleasure for you, way more pleasure for a woman. You know, it also includes what we've been talking about, how present you are. And another one is whether you can actually receive attention. So I work with a lot of men who are givers, and it's beautiful and it's amazing, and there's, you know, there's a lot of love and attention to give, but if you can't receive, or if there's something getting in the way for you of receiving attention or receiving love or receiving pleasure, then you can't actually create a cycle, right? The energy can't build between the two of you if you can't do that.
Yeah, that's a really great point, especially since the bulk of my audience is nice guys who also happen to be very cerebral. So if you're cerebral, yeah, you spend a lot of time in your head, not in your body. And if you're a nice guy, you spend a lot of time trying to please people as opposed to letting yourself also be pleased and experience it. So guys, listen up. This is important stuff. And the whole idea is that, you know, giving and taking their two sides of the same street. So unless you have some kind of energy circulation happening, it's not sustainable. You want there to be circulation, just like an electric circuit. You know, if it flows only in one direction, nothing happens. You have to have a circuit going on.
And I love that you brought up the nice guy part, because, you know, I think about, you know, there's this term that people call being emotionally available, right? So, I mean, in some ways, when I think about that, if you put it in more concrete terms, it's like, okay, how much do you feel your emotions, and can you tune in with a woman and what she's feeling? Because women tend to be feelers, right? But then the other piece is, how right are you with your own desires, right? And can you continue to want what you want even if a woman doesn't agree with you or like what you like. And I think for anyone who has been taught to be nice and taught to be, you know, a gentleman, I think that can go against what you learn. And, you know, if you're not allowing yourself to feel good about what you like, if it's not okay with you to want what you want, then it's almost, I mean, on the one hand, it's like you don't even really exist, right? You're just like a puppet to a woman's desires, which, you know, for a little while can feel good. If a man has his attention on me, it can feel okay. But once I start to get a sense that he's actually not there, right? He's not enjoying himself, he's not feeling pleasure, all of a sudden, it's like, ugh, the energy just drops and it becomes dull. And there's, you know, like that circuit that Ali was talking about, you know, that, like, when you think about electricity, the electricity just fades out and doesn't happen.
Yeah, and you mentioned something which I found out about recently, which I think is really important, the whole idea of owning what you want, because psychology research shows that if you're nonverbal behavior is not aligned with your desire. So if you want something, but you're trying to hide it, basically, yeah, you know, that comes off as creepiness. That is what creepiness is. And yeah, it comes off, and what it, the reaction evokes in your audience is one of distress and distrust. Mm. So basically, you almost have no choice but to be honest with your own desires. And you often do a lot better when you are. So that was a great
point. That's so true. And it also sparked for me what happens when a man tries to, on the surface, be really kind and appreciative of women, but on the inside is holding judgment and resentment, you know, from past experiences and past hurt. And, you know, it makes sense to me that it's there, right? I mean, we get hurt and we feel pain around that. And so then that can create judgments and resentments. But, you know, some of the work that I've done with men is to actually give a man space to say some of that and be like, God, that sucked, or I hated her, or I can't believe she did that, or, you know, what a bitch. And to actually get that stuff out instead of keeping it on the inside but then trying to act nice and honoring of women on top of that. Because, like you just said, I mean, we can feel it, and it creates that sense of creepiness or sleaziness,
yeah,
when what's happening on the outside isn't matching right, what's happening on the inside.
Right. And the flip side too, which is that if you want a woman and, you know, basically want to make out with her, you want to get her in bed, but you're acting as if, oh, I'm just Mr. Nice Guy, that comes off as creepiness, mm-hmm, too. Whereas when you just go out with your desire and she feels it, well, she's either going to respond or not. You'd be shocked and amazed how often they respond,
yeah,
positively more than you think. Whereas the other method, they're only going to be able to respond negatively, so, or neutrally, because it's like, oh, okay, he's just a nice guy. So you know, own your desire. That makes a big, big difference. I mean, would you say that's true in your experience?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely true. And, you know, to own your desire and be clear about what you want doesn't mean that you're then going to force yourself on someone, right? And doesn't mean that you're not going to respect if a woman doesn't have the same desire, right? But you don't have to turn off that desire. You don't have to, you know, squash it or try to hide it or try to be this, like you said, the nice guy who's like, well, no, I totally respect you. And if I respected you, that means I'm not going to want you. I'm not going to want to fuck you if I respect you, you know? And in my world, I mean, a man can be totally respectful of me and honoring of me and caring of me and also want to fuck me and want to have the sexual experience and want to have it be hot and intense. And it also doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to try to make it happen. You know, if he's attuned to me and feeling like, huh, the highest good or the highest pleasure for all of us in this situation actually, you know, isn't that.
Well, gentlemen, the F word has been dropped. So Shayna said fuck, she said it more than once. She means the gloves are off. So I'm going to ask the question that the boys have been craving to know from the very beginning. This probably should have been the first question.
Yeah.
But you know, so here's the question, and every guy is dying to know from an actual woman. What are women really thinking about when they're deciding whether or not to have sex with a guy?
I love that. So I guess, you know, I like you said, I mean, I really like to be vulnerable and human, and I like to be honest, because I think that a lot of women are either scared of being this honest or can't put words necessarily to what we're thinking or feeling. So, you know, using myself as an example, I would say I really love sex, right? And I love all different kinds of sex, whether it's wild or playful or slow and tender and spiritual even. But I would say that you wouldn't know that about me if you're trying to rush me into something, or if you're trying to convince me that it's what I want, you know, just because you want it and you actually don't know what I'm feeling. And you wouldn't know that about me if you objectify me. And you wouldn't know that about me, you know, if you bore me, or if you're just totally stuck in thinking about yourself and don't have your attention on me, right? So, I mean, I don't open my body to just anyone. I take care of myself, which, thank God. I mean, I think when I was younger, when I was in high school, there was a lot of, well, I'm doing this because I'm supposed to, and I don't want to look like a prude, and all of that crap, right? And now, as a woman, and actually, you know, doing a lot of work and having a lot of friendships with women, what I really see and experience myself is that I don't open my body, or I'm not sexual with a man unless I'm feeling appreciated and adored and respected and understood and connected with and trusting, right? And that may seem like a high bar, and in a way it is, but, you know, when women are thinking about whether or not they want to have sex with you, that's what's there, right? That's what's going on. It is this special thing. It's not just like having a drink with someone or taking a walk with someone, right? And it's really vulnerable. And so when the woman's thinking about that, there's this sense of like, huh, well, do I actually want this? And how do I know whether I want this? And so I would say the feelings and the questions underneath the, well, do I actually want this? And how do I know whether I want this? Let me just lay them out really. You know, one of them is, am I safe? So am I safe physically, and am I safe emotionally? And this is one of the things that I think anyone who's tried to be a nice guy actually you have that going for you. And you don't have to be a dud just because you're a nice guy, right? Like, safety is really important. It's really important to women. It's something we think about constantly. And the next thing we think about is, and again, a lot of women can't actually put words to this. Sometimes there's just a sense of like yay or nay or yeah, you know, there's a feeling. But underneath that, one of the things is, can he be with all of me? Right? Is he actually going to be able to be with the vulnerable parts of me? You know, if I start to cry while I'm having sex, is he going to get all freaked out and uncomfortable? Or is he actually just going to be like, wow, that's amazing. That's beautiful. You know, we started having this beautiful, intense experience, and wow, look what's happening for you. You know, we want to know whether you're going to respect us and whether you're still going to respect us after we have sex with you, right? So that feels like a big question. I want to know whether it's going to be all about you or whether you're actually interested in my pleasure too. And whether you're interested in co-creating something, and something that's going to be really hot and awesome for both of us, instead of just so that, you know, you can get off. And I'm also thinking and wondering about, and this has actually been an interesting one for me, like the am I actually turned on question, which might sound ridiculous, right? But there is this sense that, and I've been working with this for a lot of my life, like, am I doing this because, I don't know, because maybe it could be fun and maybe we'll have a good time, or am I really turned on? Like, am I really inspired? You know, and part of how I know that is by feeling into a man and getting a sense of, well, what is this going to be like? So when I'm with a man, and we haven't had sex yet, how I know whether it's actually going to be hot, you know, is that I have my attention on him, and I put attention on, well, is he present with me? And is he in his body? And is he able to, I guess you could say, like, wield his power, right? Is he able to be in his power? And is he able to be in his own vulnerability too, right? Like, is he going to try and hide all of the places that are awkward or uncomfortable from me? And then it's going to be this really awkward, uncomfortable experience. Or can we actually be real with each other and be vulnerable with each other? And I'd say the last part of that one is, I don't know, this feels, I don't even know why, but it feels a little bit even more vulnerable to say, but that question of, like, will he delight in me? You know, a lot of women, and I can say myself included, have these ideas of what our bodies should look like, and there are these supermodels who have these tiny, skinny bodies and don't have bellies and don't have rolls in certain places, and, you know, and I get that everyone has your own style of what you're attracted to, but it's like, also, is a man going to be able to see beyond that and delight in my body and how I move and how I open and the sounds I make and all of that? Or is it going to be really about the surface?
But can you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, good. There was a little break there. Those are powerful things. So to recap for the boys, so number one question, and I tend to agree with this, is am I safe? And again, neuroscientists will tell you that in order for the emotion of love to flourish, the very first condition is safety. Otherwise, you get the fight or flight response activated, all those circuits basically shut down any possibility of intimacy from happening. Two is, can he be with all of me? Can he handle the vulnerable parts of me? Third one was, are you still going to respect me after the act happens? Or is this just, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am? Number four is, this all about you? Or, you know, is this my pleasure too? Are we going to co-create something? Or is it all about you getting off? And number five, as I understand it, was, you know, am I, like, turned on in an inspired way? Am I really, like, into this thing, or is it just, you know, some simple recreational thing that I may or may not want to go through? So, being really into it.
Yeah.
So I've heard about your list of five reasons why a woman won't have sex with you. Is this those five? If these things are not present, then it doesn't work?
Maybe, kind of. Well, first of all, I just want to say I love your science.
You love my science, okay.
I love your science. It's really amazing to actually, you know, and I think this is common, that women tend to have more of this felt experience, and that it actually, I don't know, there's something for me that's even hot about it. It's like, oh, I have this experience in my body or the way that I am interacting with the world, and you're validating that with, you know, the science and the neurobiology of it. And So I just think that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, there's a book I've been reading recently and telling people about. It's on the blog. It's called Love 2.0. It's by Barbara Fredrickson. And she talks about the three preconditions for the physiological effect of love. So, you know, the thing that the body feels is love. And the first one is safety. So got to be safe. Number two is positivity resonance. So you basically have positive emotions that both people are feeling, and they kind of evoke in one another and feel in turn. And the third one is positive intent. So the idea of that, you know, we are doing this because we care about each other's flourishing and pleasure and all that stuff. So, you know, and all three of those were in your little list here. So there you go. Science says yes.
Science says yes. Yeah. Okay. And I think you were asking about, what I wrote about the five reasons a woman won't have sex with.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, like, yeah, you're into a guy, like even way into a guy, but you're still like, no. So, what are those five reasons?
Even if I like him, even if I love him, even if I want him, or, you know, even if a woman likes you or loves you or wants you, there's still reasons why a woman wouldn't have sex with you. And maybe I can just go through the five.
Boy, I think this will.
Time we can go
this will clarify many mysteries for the men present here, including myself. It's like, oh, so I can't wait.
Oh,
so yes,
it was that one.
That's what it was. Okay.
So I'll go through the five of them, and then we can kind of dive deeper if we have time. But, you know, the first one I would say is that her heart actually isn't being tended to in the ways that she really wants and is longing for, because women are, you know, I've heard it said, and I don't want to make this too much of a generalization or truth, because I know it can be different for me even, but that often the way to a woman's, you know, genitals is through her heart, and that often the way to a man's heart is through his genitals, and, you know, that's not the same every time. So again, I'm not going to make a generalization, but there is a way that when a woman's heart is tended to, or if it's not tended to, let's say in this case, like she's not going to open her body to you. So that's the first one. The second reason, again, and we were talking about this already, is that your attention is on what you can get from sex rather than what you can co-create or generously offer. The third one is that you're forcing it, you know, that you're not meeting her where she is in that moment, and that you're trying to get somewhere and not actually being with her where she is. The fourth one, and this just makes me laugh about my past, is that your shit isn't handled, right? And I remember long ago, this is when I was younger, so maybe it made more sense, but I remember going back to this guy's house, and he had a pull-out couch, and his sheets had holes, and his laundry was all over the floor, and I was just like, wow, my turn-on just plummeted. It was like, I really liked him. I really, you know, felt turned on. I wanted him. And then I was just like, oh, this is not happening. I mean, I think Alison Armstrong talks about this, that women have dispersed focus, I think she calls it, and men have unifocus, right? Mm-hmm. So we see everything. Like, we can't actually turn it off when there's stuff hanging all over the place. It's hard for us to relax. And it's a practice that women also have to learn to relax when there are all these things pulling at our attention. But if your shit isn't handled, it makes it really a lot harder to sleep with you. And then the fifth one is that you're not in your body, right? You're not attuned to your body. And because we are like tuning forks. And so I noticed this, I was at a workshop this weekend with 30 men, and it was amazing how different I felt. Every man I stood in front of was a totally different experience. And often what it comes down to is, like, if a man is, most of his energy in his body is in his head and in his thinking, right, then that's where I'm going to be. And I could, because I have experience, I can generate, or I can kind of bring my attention lower in my body or into my sexual center, and I can even turn myself on. But it happens naturally if you are also in your body, you know, and have your attention in your heart and in your genitals as well, rather than just being in your head.
Right. Now, we've talked about that several times, and I really like to give my listeners concrete techniques to take home with them. So, you know, we talk about, hey, be in your body more than in your head, and I talked about, you know, wiggling your toes thing, but do you have any practices for the guys to get more into their body, especially if they spend a lot of time in their heads?
Yeah, I think one of the things I tend to do with all of my clients at the beginning of our sessions is actually have them close their eyes and put attention on their body and feel their feet.
Mm-hmm.
So you can even do this right now. I mean, you can close your eyes and actually feel your feet as though, almost, I like to say, as though you've crawled into your foot. Like, imagine yourself as a tiny little person. You crawl into your own foot, and you're feeling the sensation there. So you're not thinking about your foot, but you're feeling, you know, I can feel when I put my attention there right now, it's like there's tingling, and there's heat in the place where my one foot is touching the other foot, and there's actually coolness in where the other foot is touching the air. So if you start actually doing a body scan, and you can do it as slow or fast as you want, but I would suggest if you have a hard time feeling sensation in your body, then to actually just do it slowly. Because where you put your attention, and you probably have science to back this up too, but where you put your attention, you actually start to notice more sensation. So I wasn't aware of my calf until 3 seconds ago when I started to put attention on my calf. And now that I am, I can really feel it. It's really lit up. You know, and so this is something that actually will have you feel way more pleasure in sex and in sensuality when you can actually feel those subtleties all over your body instead of just in your genitals too.
Okay.
So that's the first one.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I would say another one, you know, like we talked about before, is doing something physical, and that could be yoga, it could be martial arts, it could be running, it could be taking a walk, and even breathing. I mean, breathing is a way, one of the simplest ways to get in your body is to breathe all the way deep into your belly. And again, a lot of this, it's funny because it's really simple, but it's hard to remember. I have a client who I would text him throughout the day and be like, are you breathing into your belly? You know, are you feeling your feet? And so often he'd be like, no, not until you said so. So it's really a simple thing to do, but everything else gets in the way of doing it. So if you breathe deep into your belly and actually, you know, feel your belly expanding as you breathe, that's another really quick and simple way to get into your body.
That's great. And the breathing thing, you know, just something as simple as taking three deep breaths, just going all the way into your belly and then imagining each bit of molecule of air is like a particle of light. So your belly's filling up with light and fills up your lungs. And imagine that going into your bloodstream and it goes into your fingertips, all the way to the top of your head, all the way down to your feet, suddenly your whole body's tingling. So, you know, you do that now, right? As I said, maybe some of you did it, and it works. The thing is, how often are you doing it? So for that, there's a cool app on the iPhone, which I use. It's called Mindful Mina. It's Mindful, M-Y-N-H, Mindful Mina. And it's the simplest thing ever. You just set it to ring at a certain interval, certain frequency, and it does. So I have it ring every 30 minutes. Every 30 minutes, I do something that brings me back to my body or adds mindfulness or something. As, you know, you're drifting off, noodling on Facebook, checking email, or doing something else, like, ping, it's like, oh, okay. And if you do this...
Ooh, body,
you know,
I have a body.
Yeah, if you do this, you know, say, you know, the 12 hours, the 14 hours that you're awake in the day, that's 24 times. You do this for a week, that's, you know, 168 times. Yeah, this starts to become a habit, and you start to, like, really inhabit your body, and people notice. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
It just changes your whole presence.
Yeah, and you know what? I just thought, too, the kind of the next phase, if we're really looking at, okay, well, where to go from here, actually, also is to be, this is like, I guess it's more the advanced practice. If you can actually be in your body at the same time as having your attention on another person, that is gold, right? So if you can be feeling the sensations in your own body and still have enough awareness to put attention on a woman, to ask her questions, to be curious, to actually notice and feel what's happening as she's talking or as she's breathing or as she's, you know, responding or having emotions, that creates way more connection than I would say most people ever experience in a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Feel her. Basically, if we were to summarize this whole call into two words, that may be the two most salient things we're talking about.
Feel her.
Now, some of the gentlemen on this call are actually in a relationship. You know, they're dating someone. And one thing that I've noticed personally, which other guys have probably noticed too, is that you're with someone. Initially, it's really exciting. And you can't wait to get in bed together. And after a while, things start to get monotonous, the passion starts to flatten out, and interest wanes. So do you have any suggestions for what to do about that so you can keep things hot and connected over the longer term?
Yeah, I do. And you know, just again, like a quick personal story to illustrate this, I think is years ago I was in a darker phase, and the man I was with was having a really, he was frustrated that it felt like he couldn't make me happy anymore sexually. It was like, you know, that what lit me up in the first place wasn't lighting me up anymore. And I actually think, you know, that's something that as women, we have to have our attention on as well and be able to, in a way, be responsible for our own turn on. But the other piece of it that I was craving for on his end was that I actually didn't need to be happy. I didn't need to be bright. I actually really wanted to be sexual and explore in all these other places, even when I was sad or even when I was angry or even when I just felt dull and kind of gray, you know? And so I would say that one of the first things that keeps passion alive is acceptance and being a yes to what's happening rather than trying to change it, right? So not having to get her to a different place in order to be passionate, in order to be sexual. And really over time, I mean, if you just even beyond the bedroom, right, and because it all, what happens out of the bedroom actually has a huge impact on what happens in the bedroom. So if you're not accepting a woman, then she'll start to shut down and she'll start to hide parts of herself. And this one's tricky too. I mean, we could probably talk about this for hours because you don't want to just blindly accept someone if, you know, you're actually having a hard time with certain parts. But as an overall, I would say if you're not accepting and you really have a hard time being okay with what's going on for her, then that kills the spark. The second thing I would say that keeps the passion alive is curiosity. So again, it's like, I've heard Decker from AMP say that when you're with a woman, even when you're with a woman in a long-term relationship, every morning is like a cold approach, right? And one of the things that actually turns me on the most is when a man is really curious about me and curious about what feels good to me. And I change so much. I mean, I change throughout my cycle every month. I change when there are... you know, when I'm dealing with something with work, I change when I'm emotional about something with a friend. You know, I have a son, so I gave birth, so like things are in different places than they were. So the thing about this one, I think, is that if you think you know a woman, if you think you know exactly how she's going to respond and you're doing the same thing because that's how she responded with pleasure the last time, then I would say you've lost her, right? You've lost her in this moment, and she's going to be ever changing and ever new, and she wants to be discovered anew, and that's what really keeps things alive. Third thing I would say that keeps passion alive is not taking it personally if she doesn't like something, and this is a huge practice for me and for women as well. But you know, if you do something and it doesn't work, I'm not going to say to just gloss over, right? Like if it really hurts and you feel some shame around it, then admit that it's there and get help with that. And don't just try to paper it over and act all fine because it's going to show up later. But if you find yourself really just getting swallowed up in that shame, you're not going to be available for hotness. So actually, I'm just thinking about an experience I had recently where a man told me about an experience he had with another woman, and something about it, like I realized that it was different than he had first alluded to. It was way more intense than he had first alluded to. It's a man I was dating, and, you know, the way he explained it the second time, I was like, what? Are you kidding? It was that intimate? Like, you didn't say that the first time. And he, all of a sudden, he got kind of small, and he started to, like, get really sad, and he was pulling away and he was going into his own shame cycle. And I remember this, that I just instinctively did this. I had a sweater in my hand and I whacked him with it. And I was like, don't do that. Like, don't go away and leave me and make it all about you now, because then you actually aren't here with me anymore. Right? Like, you did this thing and I'm hurting. It's not that you're bad. It's not that you have to be, you know, whatever, like, you don't have to go into this whole cycle of shame and then leave me alone to deal with the thing that what you did just brought up for me. And then he, you know, he came back, he was like, oh, okay. And he just looked at me and put his attention on me, and I breathed like a sigh of relief. I was like, oh, thank you. You know, thank you for not going away, because that was the last thing that I wanted. And the last one I would say, that the last key to keeping passion alive, is really bringing the parts of yourself that are most alive and vital out. And I think a lot of this, again, going back to men who are trying to be nice, part of this is actually, I'm going to just call this, you know, allowing your inner caveman to come out. Or maybe a combination between
Don Juan DeMarco and your caveman, right? It's like your strength in combination with your attunement or your awareness. Because I love to be thrown around and I love to be manhandled, but it quite honestly sucks when I'm thrown around and my head, you know, is thrown into the wall or someone pulls my hair, but then, you know, pulls it in that way where it just hurts in that not good way, or my neck gets twisted, you know? So really one of the things that keeps the passion alive is having your power and your strength, and at the same time, having that tenderness or the awareness and attunement of what's happening for the woman you're with.
Wow. Okay. Gentlemen, you just received several lifetimes worth of girlfriend advice in about 50 minutes.
Yes.
This puts you at the 99th percentile of guys if you actually wrote down all this stuff and implement it, because most guys, you know, they spend 67 years dealing with women and don't ever find out this stuff. Just for my own completeness sake, so you mentioned four things to keep passion alive. The last one was bringing the parts of yourself out that are vital and alive while maintaining the tenderness and the attentiveness. Number three was not taking things personally if she's not into it. Number two was curiosity. Stay interested as if it's a new woman every day, which kind of is true, I found out. And what was the first one? I want to make sure.
The first one was acceptance.
Acceptance.
Being a yes to what's happening rather than trying to change it and making it something different so that then you can have sex or then you can be passionate.
Got it. Okay, good. So much about acceptance. So much about being present at the moment. I think we have a theme.
Yeah.
So I promised the gentleman that I would have a Q&A time for them, and now is the time for the Q&A. So what we're going to do now is we're going to attempt to use technology. This stuff sometimes works. So let's see. The way you hand raise for a question is you press 5-star on your phone. So 5-star on your phone shows that you have raised your hand, and that way I know that you have a question. So, and that way I can attend to you. So go ahead. I'm sure you have tons of questions now. Do not be shy. In fact, we don't know who you are, so there's no reason to be shy. Unless the phone
I can't bite you.
Huh? Pardon me?
Can't bite on the phone.
Ah, yes, indeed. Then again, this 5-star thing may not be working, so let me just make sure. but most important, how can guys find you, Shayna? Because, you know, Shayna also does personal coaching, as she mentioned, and, you know, every guy is different, and every manifestation of your particular issues with women and challenges that you're encountering is going to be different, and Shayna has the unique talent of kind of feeling through that and figuring out what it is that you want and what truly fulfills you and how to get at that. So how do people find you, Shayna?
Yeah, that's great. You can find me at themanshewants.com. So the man, M-A-N, she, S-H-E, wants, WANTS.com, which is really, you know, a play on that you actually already are the man she wants, but sometimes, you know, you forget or you haven't actually been taught that who you are is enough. So if you go to my site, on the bottom right, you can actually click to set up a 20-minute power coaching session. And, you know, like you said, everyone's different. And so I really hate giving generalizations of how you should be. I mean, I think there are some templates and some structures, but for me, it's really important to honor that every man is different. And, you know, if I told every man to be stronger and more bold, then the men who are already being stronger and more bold would likely just push a woman away faster than they could, you know, say hello. And if on the other end of the spectrum, you know, if a man is quiet and gentle and I'm telling men to be more aware or more loving, then he's going to turn into more of a puppy dog. So, you know, that's a way that you can actually really get some individual attention on what's going on for you. And we can look at what's getting in your way of having the connections and the the sex or the relationship that you want to have.
And I understand that the 20 minute session is free. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is free.
The initial consultation is on Shana. So imagine if you convey this much to a whole group of people, totally generalized, in 20 minutes, a lot can be accomplished. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open up the line.
Conference recording stopped.
Okay, so that's not what it was. I'm going to start that again. these things are always a challenge, trying to figure out how this gizmo works. Let's see. Why don't I unmute here?
Conference unmuted.
All right, gentlemen, everybody give a big thank you to Shana. Everybody say thank you, Shana.
Hey, thank you, boys.
Awesome.
And I'm trying to figure out.
Want to hear that?
The hand raising thing does not seem to be working, so why don't you guys throw out questions? Just don't be shy. Just say hi, I have a question, and then we'll give you the floor.
Okay.
So who has a question? I'm sure you got tons of questions here. This is provocative stuff. If you don't, that's fine too. You know, I'm sure later on you'll have questions, and you can.
Maybe I just covered everything so well that nobody has.
And what's a good email where people can reach you, Shana?
You can email me at Shana, which is Shana, @themanshewants.com. So yeah, if you don't want to ask a question right now, feel free to email me as well.
Shana@themanshewants.com. Well, if they're not going to ask a question, I am. And my question to you. And you said, you know, no holds barred. So the question I have for you is, what is the hottest thing a guy has done on a first encounter? Something that you remember to this day and was like, whoa, and you just felt yourself super turned on and interested all of a sudden.
Wow. Oh my God, I'm thinking. I'm trying to remember. The thought that just came up is... Okay, if someone were to just try to do the same thing or model that,
conference muted,
wouldn't work. So I just want to put that out there first.
Sure.
Of all. But you know, one of my hottest experiences was when a man came up to me and looked into my eyes and just said something like, "Wow, I have to tell you, like, I think he was actually watching me work with another man, and he said something about, like, how hot and amazing it was. And he said something like, what did he say? Clearly the words weren't that important. It's basically that he came up to me and that he came up to me, he said what he said, and he just stayed there. Right, he stayed there, he paused, he stayed in the silence, he let me even squirm a little because I was like, whoa! All of a sudden, you know, turn on isn't really comfortable, it's intense, and so I started feeling turned on and not even knowing what to do or what to say, and then he just stayed there with me and was silent, and then I think at some point, you know, either I said something and then he appreciated me again, but for what was happening in that moment, as opposed to, you know, what he had already witnessed. So I think it can be so simple, like I've been saying this whole call, you know, that that act of putting your attention on a woman and not being in silence in a way that's like, oh, God, how can we fix it? How can we, I've got to do something. I've got to make something happen, you know, but just allowing for the connection to happen for me is one of the hottest things ever.
All right, and that just reminds me of the whole paradigm of masculine and feminine that I learned from one of my teachers, David Data, and he talks about how the feminine, you know, and you know, to a certain extent, the woman is like the flag, and the man is like the flagpole. So besides the obvious phallic reference, the idea is that, you know, the flag, you look at it and you may think you know it, but the fact that it's always moving and it's never the same flag, right? So get used to that idea of the flow and the novelty. And also the man, his job is to just be totally steady and rooted, and that's a huge turn on. Mm-hmm. So the woman can be that flag and flow with the wind. And so this guy, he came up to you and he was just like, phoom, just like looked at you and said, wow. And he stayed there. He didn't waver.
So that's a big part of the whole masculine essence. Gentlemen, we have 2 minutes, so if you're going to be shy and not ask questions, that's totally cool by me, but you're going to miss out. So 5-star actually does work. I tested it. And so you plus 5-star on your phone, doohickey gizmo, and that way I see, oh, look at that. We have area code 763 with an actual question. All right, brother, go. What's going on? Welcome to the call. What's your question? What's your name, first of all?
Hey, thanks. My name's Dan.
Dan, what do you got for me?
This has been great, really fun and insightful stuff.
Thank you.
One of the things I'm curious to ask Jana about is this whole concept of providing attention and kind of being in the moment with that person you're with can sometimes feel really awesome, you know, as a recipient of that attention.
Yeah.
Sometimes can feel really needy, right? That the person doesn't feel good when you're getting the attention, or the recipient might feel like it's not a turn on. Can you help us understand maybe what differentiates that attention from feeling really awesome?
Yeah. Well, I think you actually just answered your own question. You know, there's a difference between when a man's putting attention on me and he's just enjoying me and appreciating me and nothing really has to happen. He's not trying to get something from me, versus when he's putting his attention on me, needing me to have a certain response to validate his own goodness or hotness or whatever, you know, then it feels totally different.
That's a great distinction. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. That's awesome. Thanks.
Outstanding. Yes, it's powerful. All right. Gentlemen, if there are no more questions, you know, 5-star does the hand raise thing. And if there are no more questions, we are going to wrap this call. It is 6:01. We are exactly on time. And once again, feel free to contact Shayna directly, shayna@themanshewants.com. And I will endeavor to put this recording up on the website soon so you guys can have access to it, listen to it again, put it in the car. This stuff is gold. When you apply it, it totally works. And once again, Shayna, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for sharing so freely of your insights.
Yeah. You are welcome. Thank you. Thank you for being an amazing inspiration. Every time I hear you speak, I just feel excited and so grateful for what you're doing and who you're being in the world. So thank you for having me.
You are too kind. I could feel that on my toes. All right.
Okay.
All right. So, gentlemen,
good night.
Thanks again for your company, and spread the word, learn the good stuff. And good night, everybody.